Hello and welcome to
Ghosties!
Does that sound weird?
No.
A horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
We watched Nosferatu from 2024, directed by Robert Eggers, who's like one of our favorite horror directors, I think, between The Witch and The Lighthouse. You still haven't seen The Northman. And so we were very excited that he was doing Nosferatu. Because it felt like, yeah, if he can take the same sensibilities he used for The Witch and applied it to a vampire story, that would be pretty fucking cool. And I don't know how you felt, because we haven't really talked about this too much yet, but I think I didn't get exactly what I was hoping for with this one.
Okay.
I still liked it a great deal. I think it's one of those movies where it's very easy to nitpick stuff that I didn't like. Because I had really high expectations, you know, and that might make it sound overly negative, even though it isn't. But I mean, overall, this is it's interesting that he would choose to do this specifically instead of doing like a Dracula story. Mm. He's doing a story about Count Orlok from Nosferatu, which is like a 1922 movie, which I think SpongeBob has popularized for the current generation, apparently.
Yeah.
You know more about that than I do. I just saw that shit on the internet. It was like, all right, whatever. Like, guess that's where we're at. But that is a movie that was basically a ripoff of Bram Stoker's Dracula. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah.
There was like legal trouble behind the scenes and they tried to destroy all copies of it and everything. But it does have like, as much as it has similarities to Bram Stoker's Dracula that are very obvious, it does have some, I would say, like, aesthetic changes, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to Count Orlok himself.
Yeah.
That makes it stand out. So it makes sense that he would choose to do this because it does feel like the more art house, you know, like, weirder choice, which just fits.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, there's so much to talk about with this. It's like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Let's start with good stuff. Okay. Because I was getting ready to really go off about something. We'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, how did you feel about this, especially compared to like The Witch?
I will say I liked this movie.
Yeah,
I did. I had a good time watching it. It also didn't meet my expectations.
Okay,
either.
So we're on the same page, yeah. Unsurprisingly, on that.
Yeah, I think in my mind, the minute I heard this movie was announced and that mm-hmm. it was coming pretty fairly soon, by the time we found out the announcement, I think I was expecting a little bit more of The Lighthouse, like
oh, yeah.
a little bit more of this like conceptual, you know, like brooding imagery. I don't know. And it's not that it didn't deliver that. It did. I think it seemed, and I don't want this to sound mean, I think it seemed a little watered down.
No, I agree. I think it's interesting you bring that up because I think between The Witch and The Lighthouse, which are his movies that we've seen and really mm-hmm. liked, it feels like The Witch really works because it feels so incredibly grounded. And it's such a like small, specific story that is just paying so much attention to all the little details and the period stuff and everything. And then you have The Lighthouse, which is much more like art house and just weird.
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up being like the two sides of the Robert Egger coin, mm-hmm. I think. And this feels very much like he's gotten a lot of attention and he was given much more of a budget,
mm-hmm.
much more of a marketing push for this one.
Yeah.
And that's like a feeling that just couldn't escape me watching it, is the movie feels so much bigger. And like mm-hmm. there are such bigger expectations placed on it.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be silly to ignore the marketing for this. Like almost everyone I've talked to knows this movie was coming out and was excited about it, at least in my circles.
Which is kind of interesting considering what it is. But I think that's just what he's become as a director. And it's like I say, it really feels like the studio put a lot of energy behind this, for better mm-hmm. or worse. And I think the best thing I can say about it is that his style still comes through. Like, it still has, like, this very distinct style. And there's a lot to love about this. But it does, it just feels like I'm the guy who has had to accept that we will never get a movie like Alien in that franchise ever again. Like the nice, small, grounded horror story. Mm-hmm. It's like it's too big now. We can never go back to that. You know, I wanted that from Romulus, and it wound up being like a much bigger movie than that. I think this is the part of his career where it's like, no, he's just making these big blockbuster things now. We're not going to get back good. To that.
Yes. It was still good. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. I did really like the movie. I don't know why I feel like I have to defend this.
Look, change is not bad. It's just change.
No, it is.
And we're accepting that change, okay? And it's like I said, there's still so much distinct stylish stuff. And there are things, especially early on in the movie, that just still worked incredibly well. But the other thing I wanted to get to, which is going to sound super cynical, but I just think it's funny. It's like, whatever. Still love the movie. But there is this element where it feels like there is like this element of like stunt casting and like really leaning into that side of things to bring the audience in. Because, I mean, this was supposed to be originally it was Harry Styles playing Nosferatu and Anya Taylor-Joy playing, what's her name? the lead, okay?
Yeah.
Which already, like, when you hear that, it's like, yeah, she's the big name. She's perfect for this role. Harry Styles is, like, the weird, unorthodox pretty boy choice. You know what I mean? And that completely fell through. So what do? They go to the, like, go-to creepy weirdo fucker, Bill Skarsgård, who, of course, played Pennywise before this. And, like, God, everything that I saw around him in this role and how like they were really building it up as like the most terrifying character he's ever played and all that, and oh, he got lost in it and everything. And then even Lily Rose Depp, considering all the controversy around her family, it still feels like they found a way to like stunt cast their way into this and bring a lot of attention around that. And again, like, I think it's funny to point that out. I think they both were, like, perfect for this movie.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
added to it. Like, yeah.
They were great.
So the both things can be true. But he does a great job as the Nosferatu. I did read, like, we're getting dangerously close to spoilers. I promise we won't spoil things. But I read that, like, you know, he wasn't originally considered for the role. And one of the reasons why he was chosen is because they wanted to have this like sexiness to the Nosferatu, because the whole movie is like
God.
Thirsty as fuck.
This movie's so horny.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people were saying that leading up to it. It actually like wasn't as horny as I was expecting based on how much like TikTok was losing their minds about it.
Oh, see, I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah. People were really building that part up. But when you see Count Orlok, and he's just like, his depiction in this movie is like, I don't want to say too much because they also were trying to hide it in the marketing and stuff. So maybe people still want to be surprised by it. But I was like, are women okay? Is this really what we, is this what we want nowadays in 2024? Like, okay, like you're going to have to explain this to me when we get into spoilers.
We'll get into spoilers because even the thing I want to say right now, I can't say because it'll spoil it.
You're going to have to explain it, because, yeah, I was like, I can see it with Bill Skarsgård. I don't know if I see it in the character, like, what women are responding to here.
We'll get to that in the spoilers.
Okay, we'll get through it. But I'll give him a lot of credit, because, yeah, it is, he is very distinctive looking. He doesn't look like the original movie completely. Like, you can see the inspiration.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it's hard, like if you look like that, it's hard to imagine people interacting with him like a normal person, you know, which they kind of do in this.
Yeah.
And he still manages to feel like very dangerous, very sinister. And I've also read that he was like putting a lot of time into the voice, and the voice is fucking great.
Yeah.
It's like very iconic.
Yeah.
So he nails all that stuff. And I guess the way I'd sum it up for the movie itself before we get to spoilers is that it does feel like it is developing a lot of lore and history. It is also doing the thing like The Witch, where they're very carefully recreating the period down to like the way people talk and how it's like very extreme, sometimes hard to understand. Like it does all that stuff super well, but there's so much of all of it to the point where I don't know how you felt. It to me, toward the end of the movie, it all started feeling very convoluted. Like there was just a lot happening and they were trying to explain all these different things at once and really building up this lore. And I don't know, there was a certain point where it was like, I wish we could have squashed this down into like a smaller package than this.
No, I agree.
But that is me nitpicking something that is like an incredible film that is already super acclaimed and very successful. So like, what do you want from me? You want me to just sit here and be like, yeah, they're right. It's great. The end. You know, like we got to have more to talk about than that. So I really liked it. Mm-hmm. We didn't even point out we are recovering from being sick.
Yes.
Energy is low. This is probably going to be difficult to edit because there's a lot of like coughing and clearing our throats and shit. But at least you won't be subjected to that listening. Why don't we just get to the spoilers? Is there anything else you want to...
No.
Do you agree with what I'm saying overall? Like, how did you feel overall?
I felt overall I was really happy we saw it.
Yes.
When it didn't meet my expectations, I was still okay with it because it is still really great. Robert Eggers film.
Yes, I think, totally.
It's very good.
Maybe we should watch The Northmen. I don't know why we've just been avoiding
it. We might be missing lore there.
I heard that people didn't super like it. Maybe that's why I just avoided it.
I don't know if we should watch it.
Whatever. Let's get to spoilers. Let's talk about Orlok right away, okay?
Okay.
So what is it? Okay?
We have to have this conversation
right now. I'm not trying to sit here like, oh, I don't know why people think that's hot. You know, like, it's more that, like, the way he is so sexualized, and it's like he's just like this, like, let me start over.
Okay.
One of the things I actually really liked about this depiction is that when you see him in his full glory, which you get to see pretty early on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, his Nosferatu dick.
Yes.
Yeah. Dick Feratu.
Okay.
Show me that.
Okay, all right. So I'm trying not to leave any silence because I know you're just going to have another dick joke.
Sorry.
So it's the way, though, that when you see him, he's depicted as, like, this big, hulking, like, corpse. Like, he looks like he is rotting and falling apart. I like that depiction of Nosferatu. You know what I mean? Because it just makes it seem like, yeah, he's wearing so many clothes and all this shit and, like, hats and stuff. And it's because he's covering all of that up.
Yeah.
And you still, it's not really until the end of the movie you really see him, because he's kept in the dark a lot during this.
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase this. Like, what, like, we've already said the movie is, like, thirsty as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
What is it about old Bill Skarsgård that he can still bring this sexuality to this role, you know?
I don't know.
I'm asking you to explain this to me.
Oh, you want me? Yes. I mean, the one thing I was going to say is, like, you even pointed out, I think there was some video in my YouTube algorithm, and it said, like, Rat Boy Summer or something.
So the women are not okay, is what you're saying.
I mean, they are perfectly fine in finding their preferences.
Okay.
So.
I guess big hulking corpse with long fingernails and a huge mustache. Like, I could see it. Sure. I've seen guys like that. Look, no judgment here, okay? Not trying to yuck anybody's yum or anything. If you want a giant rotting corpse to dominate you, like, go for it. That's great.
We'll say there is something to that where, I mean, it can really be argued if she really gave consent. But he did, like, ask for, like, consent times.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the movie.
Yeah. Now, to argue was she manipulated into giving consent is also another whole argument.
Yeah.
So
that was one of the things I kept, like, wrestling with when I was watching it, is that, like, specifically it's the idea that I have seen in a lot of movies now. I guess this is part of getting older and seeing, like, a full spectrum of movies over the course of my life. You can see how the real world gets reflected in art, the way that there are a lot of things going on in the world as far as, like, manosphere shit and, like, Andrew Tate. And, you know, not to bring too much reality into this, but you can see, like, how these certain depictions of masculinity make their way into art. And you can see the difference between Count Orlok and old Thomas, his character. You know, like, they have, like, these different versions of masculinity and how that affects the other people around them in their lives. I don't have a lot to say on that. I'm not going to like try and make this podcast into like dissecting that, because that's not what we're here for. But I was definitely thinking about that as I watched the movie.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's true.
But I do think, like, I think the beginning of the movie is the strongest part, because I think that's when it really seems to lean into, like, all the period stuff that's going on. I especially liked when he makes his way to Transylvania and meets, like, all the people there. I love this depiction of, like, it is a very different culture. I mean, they are, like, straight up laughing at him when he first shows up there. But seeing, like, how these are people who clearly have been living literally like in the shadow of Count Orlok and his castle and all the weird shit they're doing, like rubbing garlic on the windows and, you know, going out at night to like dig up the corpses and impale them. It seems like it's really portraying what that life would be like and what that would do to people, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like that that winds up being such a big part of the story, is that it's explaining why, you know, he seems to be falling apart in this old decrepit castle, and he's trying to move to the city to be around like all the hustle and bustle. And like, it's like a new lease on life for him. And that backbone to the story, like it just checked out and like made a lot of sense. And I really like that depiction.
Yeah, I agree.
That element of like the lore and everything worked for me a lot. And even leading up to when he gets to the castle, and the way that, I mean, right the fuck away, he is like under Orlok's spell, you know, being manipulated through like fear, basically, and then getting fed on like immediately. It's like he's just immediately in this hole that really shows you like the power and the danger of this character and the situation that he's in. I think that really sets the stage incredibly well. And then where it goes from there into the whole romantic story and the plague that's comes to the city and like all this other, like there just winds up being a lot more that happens, and I was starting to get kind of lost at a certain point.
I mean, are you kind of saying that you wish that the story would have been a little bit more centralized, or you think there was like too much branching off?
Yes. Okay. Because I just think back to the witch.
Yeah.
And how that the whole thing took place in that little homestead.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it just it felt like it was having trouble with the runtime, like putting so much into this fucking movie.
Yeah, I think that is one of my nitpicky things. You know, now that we're discussing it, I think I am really starting to realize, I think I wish it would have been a more intimate story.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that is what I was expecting.
The focus on it turning into this massive conflict with the plague rats and the whole city falling under his spell and having to be broken, it just like turns into this very big story that I wish could have been focused more on, you know, the romance between Orlok and Lily Rose Depp's character and poor old Thomas on the side. And I don't know, like that heart of the movie is the part that works the best, as well as just all the historical touches that are applied to this. And you can see how, like, there's so many little things that reference back to the original story that at this point they're just so ingrained in our culture that you just know. Because you got Dracula's little henchman weirdo dude doing his bidding. You've got Van Helsing, which is Willem Dafoe, basically. Like, we know these character archetypes by now. I do want to point out the whole, like, heart bite thing. That was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I like that they instead of it being, like, the little bite on the neck, he literally, like, she calls it, like, kissing her heart. Uh-huh. And it's literally he's biting them directly on the heart and just slurping all the blood out. That was pretty brutal. And I think that worked in this setting really well, too.
Yeah.
But how did you feel about, like, the romance at the center of all this? Because there was, like, this very complicated relationship, like, this three-way relationship going on.
I really feel like it's hard, for me at least, to describe it as really a romance, because she's being manipulated by a third party for the whole movie. So it's not like she, you know, like there's, she wants to be with her husband, but there's this like weird third party entity really like getting into her head and saying, no, you're in love with me. You're not in love with your husband, which is fucked up.
That was an interesting part of the lore, that this idea that She seemed to be in touch with the spiritual forces in a certain way. Like the one character mentions that, like, or she would have been like a priestess back in the day, you know, and like, how does someone like that fit into modern society? And then seeing how these dark forces can like recognize her, because there is like this very dark element of the story that, like, when she was very young, Orlok like reached out to her and basically like took hold of her and would not let go since that day, which builds up to their current relationship. And yeah, I wasn't sure how to feel about the fact that she basically had to sacrifice herself at the end of the movie.
It's sad.
In order to stop all this darkness.
She had to literally give up her own life and her own body just so that it would stop.
Some women do be like that, you know?
What do you mean? Just love sacrificing your whole will and being.
It is also just absolutely beautiful.
Oh, my God,
like,
yeah.
There's so much insane cinematography in this. That is definitely something that was present in The Witch and The Lighthouse as well. Like, he definitely has a good eye for that stuff and building a setting.
In particular, I think the whole carriage scene right before you get outside the castle is so striking. It literally, like, looked like a piece of art. Like, it was extremely well done.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the build-up to actually getting to Orlok's castle. I think that was the part that really captured me the most in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's part of why I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm sour on it, but why like I was a little let down is because I wanted the whole movie to be more of that kind of thing.
Yes.
And
same.
I think all the stuff in the city with everybody running around and doing all the stuff, that was like where it kind of lost me.
I feel exactly the same way. I wish there would have been a bigger push on composition and art house. Rather than, it does seem like...
Oh, that stuff is still definitely in there.
It's there, but I think I was expecting it in the volume of, like, The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely the more The Witch than The Lighthouse, but just, like I said, with a bigger scope to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think, like, even though it feels a little bloated, it's, like I said, the heart of the movie with Nosferatu and Lily Rose Depp, their relationship, that stuff is still really effective, really works well, and there is plenty of incredible imagery in this, and they really do a good job of making him feel like menacing, because I mean even you think about it, in a normal vampire lore, he has so many fucking weaknesses. It's like, what the hell, like garlic, really? Like crosses? And in this, it just seems like he is way more dangerous than that. Like, there is the point where he tries to open the coffin and stake him, and you think, oh, he's so vulnerable, and he just fucking catches that shit and like throws it away. He's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
So it does a good job of making it feel like, yeah, the only way you're really gonna stop him is, unfortunately, what happens at the end of the movie.
I don't know if you can really even consider it stopping him. It's kind of giving in.
Well, he dies. So I guess he is stopped, and the plague stops, you know. And we got to see his little skinny legs.
And his Nosferatu.
Okay. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover.
Do you seriously not that think one, like, really? Nosferatic is not funny?
It's very funny.
It's kind of funny.
It's very funny.
Okay.
How about this? Above Beetlejuice and below Civil War. Okay. It's number 27 on our list. You can also find us on TikTok, and you can email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What are your favorite period horrors? Sure. Bye.